T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
Is John Lester healed, and is he your playoff starter?
I thought we decided, we discussed it earlier, we want him to be in a high leverage situation. It's not fair to give him runs. I thought John Lester looked great. I thought John Lester is fine. And I've always thought that John Lester is your first game playoff starter. I never thought that was in question. And I think that they never thought that either. Although, were he unavailable, now we'd probably have to choose someone else. But it's Lester all the way. Lester, he's your man.
Yeah, I'm with you. Mully, I always, like you, thought they're going to hand him the ball for game one, no matter that he almost had a 6 ERA since the injury and has not looked John Lester-like. But, hey, last night, he did nothing to change that opinion, if that was your opinion going in. And they certainly gave you confidence if you were wavering that he was your guy. Again, he gets one more bite at the apple on Saturday, and the Reds are a much better offensive team than the Cardinals. So we'll see how he fares there. But the velocity, 91-94, I mean, good enough for John Lester. He said the command could be better, and he's right. It could be better. He was around the strike zone, not necessarily pounding the strike zone, but when you have that lead, you had more license to do so anyway, and he only gave up the one home run. So that was fine. I mean, it was all great. I wasn't thinking no-hitter type stuff. But I do believe when you get such an early lead like that, it makes it easier for you to go out there and be more aggressive, and he was certainly that. So I don't know if he's healed, if you need, the laying of the hands and devil come out and have some sort of religious ceremony. I don't know that he was actually, damaged to that degree, but he is my playoff starter, has been, and I believe will be.
24 hours ago, I felt that he was the number one starter, NLDS, game one, and nothing last night changed that at all. Now, I did feel that it was important, that it could have changed with another poor performance last night, but it did not. Is he healed? I don't know. I'm just not as concerned as I was a day ago. He's still the number one, so I think you can start to fill it out, because you would think that Quintana would be the third guy, and then the other conversation is about how Arrieta ends up going tonight. But as far as Lester goes, something that does concern me a little bit is that he doesn't have more than 5 strikeouts over his last 6 starts. When you go up against offenses like Washington, we know that they've had a softer schedule, and that's not the Cubs' fault, and they've obviously just dominated in this second half. But when you go against offenses like Washington, if you advance, teams like the Dodgers or the Diamondbacks, give up a lot of contact to those teams, a lot of times they're going to end up making you pay. But for right now, we all just feel a little bit better about John Lester. But a lot changes in this league in a week and a half. We are still, even though it feels right around the corner, we're still 10 days away from game one of the Cubs playoffs.
I think even if John Lester gave up 5 or 6 runs last night, he would have still been nailed on as a playoff starter. I don't think that Joe and Theo and the brain trust over there really would ever, disrespect John Lester. They have a lot invested in him, and he's delivered a lot since he's been here. So I think he's always going to be in the rotation. I don't know if he's healed entirely. He says he's fine. Even last time out when he got shelled by Tampa, said he was fine. Joe said he was fine. So you have to take them at their word, I suppose. And he's going to be out there, whether it's game one or game two in the NLDS.
Well, based on how the question's formatted, last night didn't change anything. He was always going to be one of the four. I still think tonight Jake Arrieta's start is huge. Walks versus strikeouts, if you're a big home versus away, and we talked about the disrespect. Would the team not be behind a decision to have John Lester as the third guy out in the rotation. If you went Arrieta, a lefty, you get a day off. You don't have to go righty-lefty. You could, with the day off, with the travel day for game three, you could go righty-lefty-lefty-righty if you so wanted to.
Who would that lefty be then, Dustin, in this second game?
Right this second?
Just curious.
Right this second would be Quintana.
You made him say it.
I think it's easier. The Cubs admitted this last year. The Cubs admitted that the tension around Wrigley Field was hard for them, that they were better off on the road. And I think Quintana will feel less pressure on the road as a playoff starter than as a home play. Listen, there's no question he's one of your top four. It's not a question. Of course he is. And I think it would be a better spot for him. In my opinion, I like to put people in a position to succeed. I think Quintana would feel better on the road. And I know John Lester is really good in the postseason.
But he's really good at Wrigley Field.
He's really good at Wrigley Field. Yep.
So is Hendricks.
Right.
I would have no problem with Arrieta, Quintana, Lester, Hendricks. You can go lefty-lefty. You've got the day off.
It's very interesting what Joe says there too, Dustin, because think about this. Let's say you go with Lester and then Arrieta. You come home, and if you want to go the lefty-righty thing, now you got Q.
Right.
And that's a – is where are you in that series? How important is that game, his first playoff start? Or even the other way around, if he's the fourth starter – and he's the last guy up. I mean, is he?
God forbid you're 0-2 and you're handing a ball to a guy who's never been in a playoff game. And you know that fourth start.
That's why he should go second.
Fourth start is Kyle Hendricks for four innings because Joe doesn't let him go that long. And John Lackey comes in.
It's such an odd situation. How many playoff teams could you have a real discussion where all four spots are just up in the air right now? Yeah, I don't know.
You could make an argument for all of them. Yeah,
welcome to the Cubs 2017 season.
It's an interesting question.
If there is indeed an NFL rule requiring teams to stand for the national anthem, how should the NFL handle things?
Is there indeed a rule? Because we had a texter texting in yesterday that there is indeed a rule.
This is from pages A62-63 of the league rulebook. It states, the national anthem must be played prior to every NFL game, and all players must be on the sidelines for the national anthem. Now, it must and must. Next paragraph. During the national anthems, players on the field and bench area should stand at attention, face the flag, hold helmets in their left hand, and refrain from talking. The home team should ensure that the American flag is in good condition. It should be pointed out to players and coaches that we continue to be judged by the public in this area of respect for the flag and our country. Failure to be on the field by the start of the national anthem may result in discipline such as fines, suspensions, and or the forfeiture of draft choices for violations of the above, including first offenses.
Okay,
but there's a difference between must and should.
Okay, but they must be on the sideline.
Yes.
Okay. Well, is there any chance in hell Roger Goodell is going to
Pittsburgh loses their first round pick?
That's exactly
that's
right.
What I read. That's
what I read. I mean, come on. I mean, it's amazing to me that. So now are they just going to pretend that rule's not in the rule book, or is it going to be a move to strike that rule from the rule book, or do you strike the anthem from? You know, Chip Galassi, the NASCAR got a lot of attention too for the way they handled it, and he's a team owner, and he said, "Guess what? We're not participating, at least for this past week, and we're not participating in the anthem." He said, "Quote: We're not playing politics." So, will there be a movement now following Pittsburgh's lead, and because Alejandro Villanueva had to come out, or felt like he had to come out yesterday, and basically apologize to his team for inadvertently, he didn't plan on it, but throwing them under the bus because, you know, the picture of him standing at the tunnel
alone. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, you know, he feels ostracized or
his jersey is the number one selling jersey.
I mean, it's remarkable. Yeah. All the websites are selling the Villanueva jersey, and most people couldn't have picked him out of a lineup before that. So, you know, will more teams say, guess what? We're staying in the locker room too. from here? Moving forward, how does this play out?
Let me just say this. I think that this has been completely mishandled by the NFL. That Roger Goodell makes $44 million a year, or whatever the amount of money is, and ignored this, just ignored it.
All last season.
And to the point where now it's become, you know, an issue that a politician looking to, you know, build his base can jump on and use.
Yes.
But they could have done 1,000 different things to address this, and they were afraid of it because of the protest element of it. So Roger Goodell didn't show leadership, and this thing has kind of, that this has gone on and on. And you know what? People hate this. People hate this. Whatever way you stand on the rights of people and all the rest of it, it is lost viewership. And at some level, this is a TV show. And you can't have people not watching or boycotting the NFL if you want to keep producing your television ratings.
I heard a fan say that he was seated behind the Pittsburgh bench on Sunday. And some other fans, when the Steelers finally showed up and came out, some other fans started getting on them and apparently did not use vulgarities or obscenities, but let them know what they thought about them not being there for the anthem. Well, guess what? Security escorted them out of the stadium. You know, now whose rights and what, you know, rights do you have to express your opinion of the guys expressing their opinion? It's amazing to me that, you know, this is going to go on, and I don't know how it plays out here. And yesterday, the explanation from the White House that the president was trying to unify the country.
Unify the country
by telling, you know, get the son of a bitch, fire the son of a bitch.
He tweeted out in the morning that it was not race-based.
I mean, come on.
It was nothing to do with race. And I mean, look, the point is that this was low-hanging fruit for him.
Exactly.
If he wanted to try to rally his base, because it's an issue that people feel strongly about. And the NFL, in their great wisdom, Roger Goodell, the law and order commissioner who's at war with everybody and suspending everyone, and makes, think about it, $44 million.
Probably more
that
in
was
the
a
new
couple
contract,
years ago.
Yeah, in the new contract.
I mean, think about how absurd and obscene that amount of money is. And they did not address it. They didn't do anything about it. They didn't try to come to some conclusion about it. They just the whole... Let's shove our head in the sand and see if anyone notices.
Will it ever come to the point where they just stop? You know, forget the rule. Just stop playing the national anthem before games.
You know, this is I talked to somebody after this. The initials started happening, and this guy said, "You got to do right now. You got to intercede, and you got to like have the national anthem before the workouts. Just have it in." Before the buses even get there.
And
fans won't even be in the stadium. They won't have it on TV.
Yeah.
Like, just immediately do something to address this before it becomes... This guy said that a year ago.
At that point, you might as well not play because you're really not playing it. If you're doing it in when no one's there and when the teams aren't ready to go...
You could claim that it wasn't a big deal, but that's...
The NFL has to come up with a policy because, you know what? Each week now, everyone's going to be seeing where this escalates or how this escalates and what's next. I mean,
now that it's become this point of contention,
right.
It's going to become we're so off message for
Yeah, absolutely. A year ago, Colin Kaepernick's on an island and it was all him. And then last night, you have Jerry Jones taking a knee before the anthem. That's the last thing I expected to see. So what are they going to do with all the fans that keep their hat on and they're on the phone during the game? I understand that it's in the rule book, but there's no way in hell at this point that is being enforced with draft picks or fines or any of that. I don't see that happening at all. How should the NFL handle things? You have to let these guys be adults as long as they continue to play the anthem right before kickoff. All the cameras are going to be on them, waiting for that big moment. I mean, why did it take 24 hours to find out that the Steelers weren't even in the locker room? That they were actually right at the edge of the tunnel? Didn't understand that. And then players coming out, like Big Ben saying he regrets how he handled it. Villanueva says he threw his team under the bus. James Harrison saying surprised that Villanueva went out and did his own thing. Why are they all saying these things? You wonder, is it because you're coming under fire on Twitter or fans are mad at you or you really feel bad about this? Yeah, you're right, Molly. I think the NFL does need to do something, but It's so sensitive right now, I don't think they have the guts to.
They need to do something a year ago,
right?
Joe.
And they didn't have the guts then. They certainly don't have the guts now.
Now, the NFL rule book itself says nothing about player conduct during the national anthem, but the game operations manual says that players must be present on the sidelines during the anthem. Doesn't say they have to stand. Doesn't say they have to, you know, worship the flag.
So
with their
what
hand
weight
over their
does
heart.
The operations manual carry?
That's, yeah, one of the bigger questions here. Like you guys said, it's a very complicated matter. Lots of different layers involved in this. To what end do protests begin and rule violations or manual violations end? I don't know. It's all very convoluted.
Do you have a rule book on you? Because the Washington Post reporting that it's from the NFL's rule book.
Yeah, I saw a couple things on Time and on Snopes that said it's not in the rule book. It's in the game operations manual. I don't know what the difference is between those two things.
Time, Snopes, and the Washington Post?
Didn't see a Washington Post. No.
I don't know if there's a way to handle this because it's gotten the horses so far out of the barn, as some people like to say. You can't. This is a no-win situation for anybody. Clearly, though, I think there's a clear message that the majority of people do not like protests with the flag and the anthem combined. Like, that is not a winning ticket. That's go ahead and protest. Do something else. And that's why I like the idea of coming out and kneeling in unity. If the new message is that we need to unify this country, if there's a divide in this country and the NFL is going to show.
Well, there is.
Okay.
It's a great question, Brian. And, you know, I don't have an answer to it. I don't know that anyone has an answer to it.
What does Quentin Demp's injury and Mike Glennon's performance say about Ryan Pace's work in free agency?
Well, let's see. Mike Glennon, I don't know. You spent a game trying to prevent him from... You won a game because you spent the game trying to prevent him from losing it for you. So that's a little bit... I don't know what grade you give him at this point. The contract is designed to eat up the money and you could release him without too big a cap hit. Mark Sanchez, he's on the team too. Quentin Depps was their big move at strong safety. Deion Sims, Prince Amukamara looked pretty good when we saw the final glimpse of him. Marcus Cooper ran into a little issue or slowed down. Marcus Wheaton, not sure what you gave there. Tom Compton is hurt. Kendall Wright and John Jenkins and Benny Cunningham would be your main free agents in the offseason. So I would say that it just kind of underscores that they were seeking quantity over quality because they couldn't get people to come here and take their money. But I would say if you're asking what those two in particular mean, it means that that the bad luck continues in free agency. That, you know, you're not really solving every problem. You're, you're getting some guys that are injured and getting hurt on you, and that's unfortunate. But I don't know that Ryan Pace can prevent that from happening, but there is some bad luck going on.
Well, it's two different things. I mean, I was never buying what Ryan Pace was selling with Mike Glennon, and I'm sure a lot of GMs and a lot of ownership around the league didn't really care for the fact. I get what the market rate is for a starting quarterback, but when you start plucking guys off the sideline and ordaining them a starting quarterback when everyone knows they should be back on the sideline, including here in Chicago, and giving a guy $18 million, however you structure the contract to get out. The fact that you structured it to get out after 1 year tells you what you had some reservations yourself about that. The Quentin Demps thing, it's simple, Mully. You said it. No one wanted to take the Bears' money. So you picked up a guy who came off a career year when it came to interceptions, and because the Bears' defense didn't have any or had very few last year, his 5 or 6 looked pretty good when he was joining the Bears. You know, the fact that they got a fractured forearm because Le'Veon Bell hit him square on the arm just tells you, I don't know if it's Bears bad luck with these injuries, but, you know, Quentin Demps to me was a guy that the numbers probably looked good here, but weren't necessarily worth what they paid him anyway, but you were already down to your second or third tier of free agents after the first round, basically said thanks but no thanks. So I think Ryan Pace was desperate to make it look new and different this year. And when the top tier guys decided to go elsewhere, including Jacksonville, You were desperate to spend your money, and you ended up at Quentin Demp's doorstep. So, you know, you basically overpaid a couple guys who were just guys. And unfortunately for him, Quentin Demp's and is also a captain, so you're missing that aspect of it as well.
Yeah, you can't predict injuries. It's more bad luck for the Bears. But as far as the signing of Demp's, yeah, career year in season number 9.
Yeah.
Well, you know what Quentin Demp's
late
is.
Late bloomer.
At this point in his career. So, yeah, you paid him off of that. You're trying to get somebody that can create some turnovers. The Mike Glennon signing, I never really thought that they even believed what they were trying to sell to the fan base, that maybe they end up with two quarterbacks. Or we've got a couple of lottery tickets here. We'll find out. Maybe one of them works out. Maybe they both work out. We could sell Glenn. We could trade Glennon. Just overall, in free agency, there's been a lot of hits and there's been a lot of misses. And that's how his drafts have worked out so far. But this is a big season. You want to see those younger guys come through. But with the topic of free agency, there's been signings like Josh Sitton has been good. Jarrell Freeman, of course, Akeem Hicks has worked out well. And then there's been some failing moves like Bobby Massey or Eddie Royal, or the mistake that they made in signing Ray McDonald for a short period of time. So overall, it's been average. He's been completely average in free agency.
Antrell Roll, you're missing a lot of guys. Alan Ball, they gave money to these people.
Trade Marty B.
It's about 50-50 in terms of his free agent hits and misses, I would say, if that's...
That's generous.
Yeah, I mean, we're still only in week 3 here. I think there's a ways to go to see how they end up and how some of the new guys turn out this year. But, you know, it's hard. It's not easy, and especially for a guy like Ryan Pace, who really doesn't have any experience as a general manager, worked in the front office of New Orleans for a while, but this is his first bite at the apple, so to speak, as a general manager. And I think 50-50 right now for a team that was in desperate need of a teardown and a rebuild, maybe not good enough, but like I said, a little early to judge this year. And really, it's all going to come down to whether or not Mitchell Trubisky is the guy. That's going to be the only thing that he's judged on. So whether or not he's knocking out every single ball that comes to him in free agency is not going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is whether he's got the right quarterback.
Quarterbacks win championships, no doubt about that. I don't know Quentin Demp's breaking an arm. I don't know how that reflects on Ryan Pace at all. And I think the Glennon situation is all about being able to get out of the contract. So it's all about that was a place for him to start. He completely misplayed his hand. I mean, the Glennon, that was the worst one. You could have kept Hoyer around for probably half that money. I haven't had a chance to look it up. What are the 49ers paying Hoyer?
$5 million maybe?
Right? So
six?
You could have had that. You could add Mark Sanchez. If Mark Sanchez is such a quarterback whisperer, you could add Mark Sanchez starting. I think Mark Sanchez, as the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, the Bears could easily be 1-2. This is more about Pace's free agency. I don't know the Demp's arm, but yeah, he's failed. He swung and missed more than he's hit home runs or even line drives for that matter.
Hoyer, 2 years, $12 million,
yeah.
$7 million guaranteed.
That sounds about right.
Which part of that question should I answer first?
Did the national anthem protest cost Pittsburgh a victory in Chicago on Sunday?
Boy, the more you hear the fallout from Pittsburgh, I'll go back to Mike Tomlin in the postgame when he talked about being dragged into politics and he said dragged into this BS. He was so agitated by it, what seemingly, you know, where the Bears start talking about on Saturday, it seemed like Pittsburgh just started talking about Sunday morning and they weren't sure exactly how they're going to handle it. And certainly now we find out the quarterback didn't think they handled it all that well. And you have Alejandro Villanueva regretting how he handled it. And you have other teammates talking about how other guys handled it. So, you know, yesterday you heard the Dallas Cowboys for Jerry Jones and Garrett saying that they started having meetings amongst ownership, amongst coaches, players and coaches, team leadership committee and coaches. And they talked about for 48 hours to figure out kneeling before the anthem, but standing up once the flag was unfurled and the anthem started. It seemed like the Pittsburgh Steelers just showed up at Soldier Field and guys started talking about it and they didn't have a unified front. So I can't put a percentage on it, but hey, you know, they came out and they didn't look like they were ready to play a focused football game. And you start with a muff punt and you go from there. And it looked like they were had their minds on other things than trying to beat the Bears right then. So I'd say it had something to do with it, but we certainly know that they don't play very well on the road against losing teams either. So the trend was the Bears' friend as well.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think that it did play a part. I think you're on the road, you're having these meetings. You know, Dave Wannstedt is going to be joining us here, as he does every Tuesday, and we'll ask him, you know, how do you handle something where, you know, okay, we got to deal with this, we got to do this. We got to play a football game. Let me tell you something. Coaches hate distractions. They just want to play football.
Absolutely.
They don't care about anything but winning a football game. That's what their whole thing is. They care about people, all that stuff, and they care about social issues and all that stuff.
But game day,
if you're coaching in the NFL, you don't know what movie's popular, what TV shows people are downloading. You don't know anything other than what you're doing because you don't have the time and you don't want to lose focus. And they did lose focus. And some of the stuff coming out after this is unbelievable. The Ben Roethlisberger thing, that's unbelievable. He said he was unable to sleep last night, and then he wanted to share his thought, and then he goes into the whole thing, and it's become a very difficult decision for a lot of people. It's not something that everyone is kind of knee jerk about. People are thinking it through, and it's a complicated issue. You want to support your teammates. You know, we talked to Olin Kruch yesterday. I thought he put it very well, that he personally wouldn't have done that,
right,
but he would always support his teammates. And if there was a guy kneeling, he'd put a hand on his shoulder and stand next to him.
He would expect the guy kneeling to respect his approach
decision,
to it.
Right, yeah. Right. So I think that, you know, it's hard to get people from diverse backgrounds and different political beliefs and different life experiences
mm-hmm.
to all go along with the same thing. It's very difficult to do. And once this, you know, has started, now you got issues that can tear up a team. You know, it's I'm telling you, it seemed to affect the Steelers a lot more than the Bears.
Yeah, this might be something carries over too, because they have their number one rivalry going on with Baltimore on Sunday at Baltimore on the road, where they do tend to struggle.
Did you see the quarterback play for Baltimore?
Oh boy,
I think they're okay. He was awful.
I know.
Last week,
I know. Marco. I know. The Jaguars. Yeah, the London games. I don't know how to judge. I always.
That's interesting.
Jacksonville's 3-0 in London.
Well, see, I'm so mad at myself because I heard that brought up and I thought it was a good point, but I didn't follow through with it. The Jaguars have that trip down. They do it every single
year. Right, they give up a home game to go over there, don't
they? It's kind of a home game because they've become some of them have become Jaguar fans over there because they come there every season. But we laugh at head coaches when they talk about distractions. But it's true. Look, something that jumped out to me, Houston Texans week one, the distraction that they were dealing with the hurricane, even though it was week one, Jacksonville goes there and they beat them 29-7. I don't think this helped at all. They did not seem focused, but on Friday, before all this was going on, we were talking about their struggles on the road and that we thought the Bears would have a bounce back performance at home, that they would hang around. I don't think it's the sole reason that they lost the game, but it did not help. It certainly hurt things.
Didn't help, but I don't think it cost them the victory. I think, you know, everything you guys said about the trends is they're not exactly the 72 Dolphins. They turned the ball over, what, 2-3 times? So the Bears are a little bit better than we thought they were. I don't think the anthem cost them a victory, no.
Brought this up yesterday, was basically laughed out of the room, and now all of a sudden I've got a bunch of people on my side.
When did you bring it up yesterday?
During the show, when people aren't listening to what's actually coming out of my mouth and assuming what's coming out of my mouth.
When did that happen? You'll get the tape.
We got the tape.
Let's get the tape.
I said it was 70%, and Brian responded 70%. Somebody responded 70%. I said it's 70% of the reason. I went in, and Brian and I talked about it during a break. I said 70% of the reason why they lost that game is because their minds were clearly
I believe I said to you, I can't put a percentage on it, but I agree with you that they weren't focused going into the game.
Well, that's a great question, Brian.
Which bull, if any, will get you to tune in this season?
None. I'll tune in because I have to, and I'll be interested in the team, but I wouldn't tune in to watch a particular player in this team.
I like what Zach LaVine said, that he's ahead of schedule and he's trying to get back out there. But Chris Dunn, I mean, you gave up Jimmy Butler. Chris Dunn better be a player.
I watched him in the summer league, and I'm not going to tune
early,
in. I won't tune in to watch him.
Gotcha.
That's all I'm saying.
Diamond Stone, ladies and gentlemen.
I knew it.
I'll go with Lauri Markkanen. This is where the league is going, and you better hit with this draft pick after trading Jimmy.
So watched him in the EuroLeague. Won't tune in just for him.
And he got a haircut. They got it. They're all cut.
Well, somebody who didn't get a haircut was Cameron Payne, although unfortunately he'll be out for 3 to 4 months. But when he's back, I'm all in on Cam Payne.
Wow.
Campaign.
That's just being mean. Wow.
The Chicago baseball. Oh, no, it's not time for that yet. Gosh, do I have to? Yes, we have to. Zach LaVine. That guy's exciting. I mean, he should be.
That's like December.
He's the superstar.
He'll tune in December.
Christmas Day. I mean,
Christmas Day.
They don't play Christmas Day, surprisingly. This is like the first time in like a decade, right?
Who would watch them?
That's the problem. Yeah. They don't. But I honestly, I'm not joking. I don't think they have a signature star that you tune in to watch.
No. If this was not your job, you would not be watching.
Exactly.
Those games.
No, I like the Bulls.
You want to tune in to watch Fred coach?
No. No, I didn't like hearing Fred yesterday. I'm just saying that it's the hard sell is all I mean, usually you have one player that you're like, okay, well, I can tune in. Jimmy might get 50 tonight. But there's no one.
The team might get
there's
50
no one,
tonight.
Yeah, there you go. There's no one player. And they need to develop that. And I'm sure someone will be better than others. But they don't have it right now.
I mean, 30-point underdogs sometimes.
They don't move the needle. Hate to tell you. That is the 5 at 5. It's Molly and Hanley on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.